James was an amazing character, full of life, fun. Also, he was a blackguard. He was a bit of a scamp in a way, you know. I mean, there's loads of people out there that would have known James more than I do and a lot longer. But anytime I would speak to James and meet him in a golf club or meet him outside a golf club having a pint, James would always come to you and say, hi, how are you doing? And he'd go out of his way to contact you and to greet you.
Okay, so he leaves a huge void, of course, and leaves his wife and family behind. And arising out of the very tragic passing of James, you came up with an idea of something you want to do to remember him.
Yeah.
And it's not a fundraiser, we should say.
It's not, no. Yeah. And look, I'm no expert, but I think fundraising for me, what I'm doing, isn't going to cure it. And the thing is, what I checked out where James was originally from, and James is originally from Athy, County Limerick. Very well known and respected down there, and his family also. And so, you know, I was thinking about it for a while and, you know, wanted to do something. And I've come up with the idea of walking from here to Athy. And along the way, and this is totally for mental well-being I'm doing this for. What I want to highlight is that as I'm walking along, I want to hopefully meet people, talk to them, see how they're doing. Also maybe knock at a door along the way and to show that if there's nobody at home, don't be afraid to knock at the next door. This is if you're in a bad place. Don't be afraid to knock at the next door. And if there's no one there, knock at the next door. Because the way I look at life, you know, if one door is shut, another door will open. And finally, somebody will listen to you and help you.
So it's about mental health, really.
Of course, it's mental and mental awareness, mm-hmm. You know, and connecting. Like us men, like we don't talk enough. We don't communicate enough. We'll hide it. We'll put it back here somewhere behind. Yeah, it's a door. It's in a shed at the back of our heads. And we won't talk at all about it. You know, where ladies can go out and girls go out and they can talk for 5 or 6 hours. And, you know, the way I look at it, if fellas could even talk for 5 or 10 minutes and just let other fellas know, I don't feel right today. I'm not in a good place. You know, what do you think I should do? Like, we don't do it. And I think this is what the message I want to get across by doing this walk. And I feel like walking, talking is the thing to do. Like, you don't have to do a long walk. It can be a short walk. Walk into the national park. Walk around your shed in the back garden. Do something, but do it with somebody. Connect with somebody.
And are you going to knock on doors of random strangers?
Yeah, yeah. I that's what I want to do. I want to see their reaction. And I want to let them know why I'm doing it. And the thing is, the person you might knock on, the door you might knock on, they might be somebody that's looking for help or looking to talk to somebody.
So what'll you say when you knock on the door?
I'll just explain. Look.
Hello, I'm Pat.
Hi, my name is Pat O'Neill. I'm doing this walk for mental well-being and, you know, how are you doing? Basically, you know, how's life with you?
And what if they slam the door in your face?
I'll go to the next door.
You've thought about this?
Yeah.
You'll go to the next door.
I'll go to the next door. And if there's no one there, if somebody else shuts that door, go to the next door. And as I keep saying, somebody will always listen. Somebody will open the door for you and bring you in and have a cup of tea, you know?
And
if they do that, I could be walking for 3 or 4 days. So that's fine.
I was just going to say, actually, Pat, I was just going to say that, have you put a time limit on how long it'll take you?
No.
No.
Well, I'm hoping the first day to get to Abbeyfield within 8 hours.
Okay.
You know, the first day. And also, you know, as I'm coming towards Abbeyfield, that if anybody has lost anybody or anybody's in a bad way, contact me and leave me come and stay with them. I'll stay with them and talk to them for a night, see how, you know, how is life treating them?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to stay in a fancy bed and breakfast. I don't want to stay in a hotel. I want to stay with somebody that's I can connect with.
Has and a sofa, maybe.
Yeah, sofa's fine. Chair, anything. So you can just see how they're getting on.
I know Pat, people will know you well as being a well-known hairstylist and a very talented one, if I may say so. But I remember speaking to you before and you were telling me that when you work in the hairdressing business, that people end up telling you their problems and their issues and you almost become like a counsellor in a way, don't you?
Yeah. Like I've always said that people working in my industry and in the beauty industry or industry like mine, they're really the forgotten therapists. They think they take in so much and they listen to people's problems every day. And which I've done, and I've heard a lot of stuff. And the thing is, you say to yourself after, you know, how can we offload this? How can we offload, not telling anybody's secrets, but how can we offload, look, I've had a person that had a bad day and we need to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
And I feel by doing this, connecting with people, walking and talking and getting out there will help.
And the reality,
me as well.
The reality is that all of us at some point or other will have a brush with mental illness.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, there's nobody. Look, I'd be very honest with you. There's nobody out there that hasn't suffered. Look, seeing that I'm on radio, okay, you know, I've been in a dark place for a long time, years ago, okay, way before I got married. And I know what it's like to be in a dark hole, you know, and I got out of it. And I'm not ashamed to talk about it. And as fellas go, we are ashamed to talk about things. You know, not ashamed in that sense, but I think it's there's a bit of pride there. There's a bit of
macho
stuff. You know, oh, I don't want the boys to know I'm playing football, playing soccer, playing whatever. I don't want them to know that I've had problems. But like, we're always coming back after and say, why didn't you say it to me? You know, I've got great friends. And, you know, the thing is, they'll say, do you know, why didn't you say it to me? And you often wonder, why didn't you say it? It's just, it's always harder for a guy to do these things.
To start the conversation.
To start the conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
The TV series, Netflix series, Stranger Things, has a connection to this project you're doing. Explain that to us.
Like, I watched Stranger Things, and a lot of people will connect with it, maybe. But what I got out of it, and I watched it 3 or 4 times with my beautiful daughter, Lara. When I watched it, there's a part in Stranger Things where they go into a thing called, a place called the Upside Down. And what I got out of it, I'm no expert here, right? So this is my own interpretation of this. So what I got out of it was when somebody goes into the Upside Down and they're in this dark hole, and the only way out of it is when somebody shines the light, you know? And that's where I'm getting at when you're out walking and talking, you know, and knocking at doors and knocking as I'm walking along, when I knock at a door and see what happens. Like, it doesn't have to be a physical door. Look, it could be a door in your head, and somebody knocking it might be just somebody talking to you. And once you see the light, it means you can go there, get out of it.
Get out of the Upside Down.
And get out of the Upside Down. And the thing with the Upside Down is, like, you walk into the national park for your walk, okay? And in the Upside Down, you're walking into the national park, but it's not the national park. It's not the park that you know. It's frizzled. It's black. It's dark. Still looks the same, but it's totally burnt up. That's what it's like to feel in a dark place. You're looking left and right. There's nothing, only blackness and darkness around you. And until somebody shines a light, that you can follow the light and get out of that dark hole. And the thing is, shining the light just means somebody talking to you. Okay.
It's funny. I saw Stranger Things, and I never looked at it that way, right, about the upside down, but it's a very interesting interpretation of it.
Maybe it's because that I was there myself, and when I saw that, it just brought me back to that period of the darkness, the upset, the not knowing who to turn to, the taking medicine that you didn't really want to take. And then you look at yourself and say, you know, how are you going to get out of this? Yeah. And the way I got out of it was, you know, I was fine when I was in control. I was fine when I was in control, when I had clients coming in and I was the man, you know? And then when I'd go in at night, into my home at night, then it would all change. The darkness and the cloud would gather over you. You know, I took medicine for a while and then I woke up one morning and I said to myself, what am I doing? Like, who's going to get you out of this? And I said, myself. And, you know, I caught whatever medicine I had and I flushed them down the toilet. And I said, now it starts. You know, back into work, back training, back playing football, back running activities.
Taking control. Okay.
And ever since, it's fabulous.
And coming back to Stranger Things again, of course, a lot of people like your daughter, and that series opened up a whole new generation to the music of Kate Bush. And again, there's another connection to what you're doing with a famous Kate Bush song. Mm-hmm. Tell us.
Yeah, the song of Running Up That Hill is the name of the song. And as I was explaining earlier, in parts of Stranger Things, and when they're in that dark hole, the music plays Running Up That Hill. And when the light starts shining, the music gets more powerful and gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And as they get closer to the light and closer of getting out of that dark hole, the music even gets more powerful. And that gave me inspiration of doing the T-shirt. So on the back of the T-shirt, we have, I'll show you.
Running Up That Hill.
Okay. And on the front of the T-shirt.
Sun's Going to Shine.
The sun's going to shine. And the whole reason for that is our struggle, everybody's struggle, you know? Like, everybody's struggle in life. There's nobody out there that doesn't struggle from day to day. In doesn't have to be mental well-being. It doesn't have to be anything like that. It could be the everyday life. And the reason of running up that hill is the struggle of life, trying to get to the top of that hill and get over that hill. And once you get over that hill and people connect with you and people help you, the sun's going to shine.
Just to remind us again before we let you go, you're doing this on, you're starting this on the 26th of May, departing from the Park Road in Killarney. It's not a fundraiser, so
no.
You're not going to be asking anyone for money.
No, this is totally awareness. Walking and talking, getting out for a walk, nearly everybody can do it.
Yeah, okay. So if people see you along the way, what do you want them to do? How can they show their support?
In the car, they can blow their horns. They can, as I said, discuss that in certain areas where we want to a gathering in Park Road, hopefully have a gathering starting off, another gathering in Farron Four, and another gathering in Castle Island. And look, basically, spread the word to somebody else. Get another group of people the day after, or a day after, or the week after, or just organise people to come for a walk and do it in groups rather than
On your own. So if anyone along the way gets a knock on their door and a strange man from Killarney is standing there in his walking gear, don't think that you've lost the plot.
They probably will say I've lost the plot, but that's fine. It's really, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to it. Irish people, they don't slam the door on you. As you know, a couple of years ago, I had a very bad house fire. And we lost everything in it. And the way I look at life is like, there's always somebody worse out there than yourself. And I think that's what got me through it. The whole situation of our fire and losing everything. And I keep saying to myself, and it did help me, there's always somebody worse off than yourself.